Today we are reading from Bhagavad Gita, As It Is, by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, the founder and acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, who has so kindly presented the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita in clear and straightforward manner for the benefit of the whole world. Today we're reading from Chapter 9, Texts 20 and 21. I'll read the Sanskrit of verse 20 with Srila Prabhupada's translation. Trividya maṁ somapāv pūtapāpā yagyair ishtvā swargatiṁ prārthayante te punyam āsādhya surendra lokam ashnanti divyān divideva bhogān. Srila Prabhupada's translation. Those who study the Vedas and drink the soma juice, seeking the heavenly planets, worship me indirectly. Purified of sinful reactions, they take birth on the pious heavenly planet of Indra, where they enjoy godly delights. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namine. Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirivishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. This Bhagavad Gita is the basic knowledge of advanced spiritual life, but to even begin to understand it, we need some background knowledge. Just like if we talk about, in mathematics, basic calculus. So it might be basic, but to even begin to enter calculus, one has to know, of course, basic addition, subtraction, and then algebra, geometry, trigonometry, then we go on. So here, Lord Krishna is speaking about concepts which, although they're very basic concepts of spiritual understanding, actually it's even basic to spiritual understanding, even prior to spiritual understanding, it's not understood by people who are educated in what we can call the modern empiric or mechanistic system. Here, Lord Krishna speaks about persons who study the Vedas and follow the Vedic processes, and as a result of performing that punya karma or pious activities, they get elevated to the Surendra Loka. That means the Swarga Loka or the heavenly planets. Now, what's going on here is a delineation of the subtle laws of the universe. We've heard that for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. And that works not only in the sphere of physics, but there is also metaphysics, the laws of karma. So these are described in the Vedic literature. And persons who are aware of this, they realize that we have to perform pious activities, and therefore we will get a good birth. In future, we can go to Swarga Loka. And if we perform impious activities, the opposite of punya is pap or sin, then we shall have to go down to animal species and suffer in future. Therefore, persons who get knowledge of the karma chakra, or the samsara chakra, how we are going round and round in this, like on a big wheel. Sometimes we turn and we go up to the heavenly planet, sometimes we go down. They try to act in a way that we can go up. And if they by chance even perform any sinful activities, then they try to do some what's called prayaschitta or atonement. Although, as Lord Krishna will point out, he's pointing out throughout Bhagavad Gita, and in the next verse in particular, he's pointing out that actually it's not very intelligent to desire to go up to the heavenly planets, because if you go up, you have to go down again. So the best thing is to get out of this material world altogether. However, Trividya, here is mentioned Trividya, in the Vedas. Trividya means the three Vedas, Rig, Sama, and Yajur. There's also Atharva Veda, but here when we refer to three Vedas, the Rig, Sama, and Yajur Veda are referred to. Now, earlier in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna has stated that the Trigunya Vishaya Veda, that the Vedas, they mostly deal with subject matters within the three modes of material nature, Sattvagun, Rajagun, Tamagun. And they mostly deal with how we can go up to Swarga Loka, how we can avoid going down. This is called Karma Kanda. And this is very attractive to materialistic people. And more or less, everyone in this material world is materialistic. That's why we're here. It's the material world. And although we are Atma, we are pure spirit soul, we've come to this material world with the desire to enjoy it. So the Vedas, they offer us that if we follow the process of karma kanda or punya karma, performing pious activities, here is mentioned that as a result of that, one can go to the heavenly planets. And although it's not mentioned here, in the next verse it's mentioned, Tetang bhuktva swarga lokang vishalam. One can enjoy on the heavenly planets sense enjoyments even many thousands of times more than on this planet. You can just imagine who is the most beautiful woman on this planet. Miss World, Miss Universe. But even the ordinary women of the heavenly planets are far more beautiful. Everyone is very healthy and strong, and there's rivers of mango juice. How about that? Fresh mango juice. There's all kinds of enjoyment there. So it sounds very attractive. And it's meant to attract us. Because if we think, what's life like on earth? Well, it's a big struggle. And everyone's trying to go to a better place. People, we're shooting this here in Bombay. And here in Mumbai, people are coming in from the villages. They're thinking, well, life is tough in the village. Let's go to Mumbai. And people who are in Mumbai, they're thinking, well, let's get out of here. Let's go to America or England or at least Dubai or somewhere. Let's go somewhere better so we can earn more easily with less struggle and enjoy ourselves better. So the Vedic process offers you can go to a place better than America, better than England, better than Mumbai. You can go to the heavenly planets by performing pious activities. So the Vedic process is not actually meant for going to the heavenly planets, but it's just to attract people's attention. Actually, this Vedic knowledge, this Bhagavad Gita, is the summary of all the highest knowledge of the Vedas. So even though in the Vedas there are sections which recommend, yes, go to the heavenly planets, perform pious activities, that's just to bring people into religious life, to attract their attention. It's something like you want to get the child to study the homework. So you say, all right, I'll give you a nice sweet. Then you have to do the homework. So something like that. For his own benefit, you're giving him some little attraction. So people who follow the Vedic injunctions, they understand that we should not perform sinful activities. We should perform pious activities. That's also very good for making peace in society. And as a result of doing so, they shall be elevated to the heavenly planets where they can drink soma juice, which is something like drinking wine, but it doesn't give you a headache, and it's intoxicating, but in a heavenly way, and not in a manner that you become completely stupid, like people who drink wine on this planet. They're stupid to drink wine in the first place, and when they drink it, they become more stupid. And then you wake up with a headache and you realize, why was I so stupid? And then the next week or next day, you do the same thing. But that's a kind of beverage which, by drinking soma ras, one's life becomes extended and one becomes very healthy and strong. So these are all facilities of the heavenly planets. It's a much, the heaven, the Swarga Loka, it's a better place than here. Of course, we're not taught about this in our schools. They don't have information about this. But this knowledge, which is given in Bhagavad Gita and in the Vedas, it's subtle knowledge of the Vedas, a subtle knowledge of the universe. We can go in our spacecraft, maybe we can go and send spacecraft and make photographs of different planets, but we won't see demigods. We don't have the eyes to see. With gross vision, we cannot see. Therefore, we conclude that there's no life elsewhere in the universe. But actually, there's life on every planet of the universe, although it may be in subtle form that we can't see. So, the heavenly planets, that is an enticement. Perform pious activity. Don't be sinful. Otherwise, people, they tend to be sinful. That we want to enjoy ourselves. Okay, kill animals, eat meat, drink wine, and have sex left, right, and center like pigs and dogs. But the Vedic scriptures, no, not only Vedic scriptures, all the scriptures in the world. Self-restraint is required. Don't live like that. So to teach us to be self-restrained so that we can gradually rise to the platform of self-realization is offered self-restraint so that you can enjoy yourself better in future by going to the heavenly planets. But the point is that even in the heavenly planets, if one goes there, there's opportunity for enjoyment. But because one has cultivated the Vedic path, one doesn't, in the heavenly planets, the demigods, they enjoy themselves, but in a cultured way. Just like in traditional Indian culture, there was enjoyment, but in a cultured way. The people would dress very nicely, nice jewelries and saris and dhotis, and they would have social life and music and entertainment, but not this gross, nasty, sinful enjoyment. So, like that, the demigods, they enjoy, but in a very cultured way. But the tendency is that after enjoying themselves like that for some time, if they don't get the understanding that actually this whole universe, even in the heavenly planets, the apparent enjoyment simply ends in death. So therefore, we don't belong in this material world. We should follow the path of the Vedas that takes us beyond this material world. If they don't get that understanding, then what happens is described in the next verse of Bhagavad Gita. Te tang bhuktva swarga lokam vishalam shine punye martya lokam vishanti evang trayi dharma anuprapana gata gatang kama kama labhante. Lord Krishna says, when they have thus enjoyed vast heavenly sense pleasure and the results of their pious activities are exhausted, they return to this mortal planet again. Thus, those who seek sense enjoyment by adhering to the principles of the three Vedas achieve only repeated birth and death. What's going on here, what's being explained is that according to the level of one's punya, one is elevated to the Swargaloka, where you get the body of a deva or a devi, and there's ample facility for enjoying life for a very long time. The demigods, they live for 100 years, but each day in that 100 years is equivalent to 6 months on this planet. Therefore, the demigods are called Amara, which means no death. But what happens, it's just like you do punya karma, pious activities, doing good to others, digging wells for the public benefit, planting shade trees on the road, making hospitals, all this kind of thing can be considered pious activities. So according to the level of one's pious activities, one gets a post in the heavenly planets. It's something like earning money and depositing in a bank account. And then at some point you start enjoying yourself. You're withdrawing and withdrawing and spending the money and spending the money. And then one day you go to the bank and say, I want to withdraw another lakh of rupees. Sorry, balance finished. You're again poor man. So it's like that. In the heavenly planets, you stay for some time and you enjoy. So actually it's only so-called enjoyment. There's no real enjoyment even in the heavenly planets. That's an important message. That's discussed elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita, that even in the heavenly planets, there's no real happiness. So, you're enjoying and you're in this illusion, everything's nice, but actually, even in the heavenly planets, one cannot really enjoy, because in the back of his mind, there's always the thought that it's all going to end sometime. So, and that actually happens. You're dancing in the heavenly planets, and all of a sudden, time up, account finished, your punya's over, back down again. You have to come down again. So then again, you may perform pious activities, and then again go up to the heavenly planets, and then again come down. But in the middle, if you make some mistake, which is quite possible, if you perform some sinful activity, or even accidentally you insult someone, or insult some highly respectable person, that's described in Srimad Bhagavatam, a very pious king, King Nriga, just by mistake, he was giving cows away to brahmanas, and he happened to give the same cow away to two different brahmanas. He gave the cow away to one brahmana, and then that cow strayed away from that brahmana, accidentally gave to another brahmana, and they both wanted the same cow, and then they both became insulted, and he was so pious, giving so much charity, but he became a lizard in his next life. So this is the path of going up and down in this material world. But what do you get from it? They only get repeated birth and death, the ultimate result. You may live a long time on the heavenly planets. It seems like a long time. Just like to an ant crawling, maybe an ant crawling around. It may seem that if somehow we could inform the ant that the human beings are living so long, they're much longer than the ants, they may think, oh, that's a very long lifetime. But when we hear, the same way we hear about the lifetime of the demigods, we think, oh, they live 100 years, and each day is 6 months, each day and each night. So practically 1 year of 1 year by human calculation is 1 day of the demigods, and there's 30 days in their months and 12 months in a year, and they live 100 years. It's a long time. So to us, it seems like a very long time, but it's finished very soon. Everything's finished. In this material world, everything has to be finished very soon. So this is the message that Krishna is giving again and again in Bhagavad Gita. Elsewhere in the Vedic literatures, there are more descriptions of the heavenly planets, and it sounds very attractive, but there's a catch. It sounds very attractive that there's Vishal, Tetang Bhukva Swargalokam Vishalam, Vishalasukh. There's tremendous happiness. It seems like that. But ultimately, it all comes to nothing. And we see that people, whatever we expect in the material world will make us happy. In the end, it doesn't make us happy. We think, I'll get this, I'll buy this new car, I'll get a house in the best part of the city, but we're never happy. It's just shuti sukh. We hear about it, we think it will make us happy, but it doesn't make us happy. So this Krishna is pointing out to Arjuna. Look, Arjuna, you're a kshatriya. You went to the heavenly planets. You remember reading that? You heard that in Mahabharata? How Arjuna, he went to the heavenly planets. He's the son of Indra. So he went there. He was called there by Indra for some purpose, to get some weapons. So he went there, but because Arjuna is a great devotee of Krishna, he's not just an ordinary fighter, and Krishna is not just an ordinary person. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Arjuna, even though he went to the heavenly planets, he wasn't attracted by the so-called sensual enjoyment there. Even Urvashi, the great, greatly famous, beautiful woman, Apsara of the heavenly planets, proposed to Arjuna. Arjuna, no, I cannot. You are my mother. He refused. So a great devotee of Krishna, he's not attracted by this material enjoyment. And Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is speaking this Bhagavad Gita just to give us this knowledge of that which is for our highest benefit. Now, it may seem to us that my highest benefit should be to go to the heavenly planets. And in the modern age, there's very little information about this, and people think my highest benefit will be attained if I get high university degree and a good job, earn a lot of money. We don't even have information of the heavenly planets. We think that slaving it out on this planet, that's the best thing we can get. But Krishna is very kindly directing us towards that world beyond the flickering happiness of this material world, that the heavenly planets, that's better than Bombay, better than Dubai, better than England, better than America, surely, but is not our real place of happiness. We don't belong anywhere in this material world. We belong with Krishna. So, Krishna is very kindly pointing this out to us, that even if we think we are a tremendous success, we shall go to the heavenly planets, but it's all a failure. Everything we do in this material world, it only results in suffering. Even going to the heavenly planets, just consider. It's very difficult for us even to consider. We can hardly imagine what is the happiness enjoyed in the heavenly planets. We have very little idea. Living on this planet, we have actually very little idea what happiness means. We think that happiness means to go in an air-conditioned room on a hot day, or lick an ice cream, or have a girlfriend or a boyfriend or something like this. What happiness we can enjoy is extremely limited compared to the demigods, whose standard of sense gratification, whose experience of happiness is actually hundreds of thousands of times more than people on this planet. We can't imagine that. Of course, there's no machine for measuring happiness. There are machines for you can measure light, you can measure heat, you can measure speed, you can measure specific density, you can measure tensile strength. There are so many things you can measure. You cannot measure happiness. But if we could, then we would find that on the heavenly planets, the happiness is hundreds of thousands of times more on this planet. But even that, Krishna says, that is not real happiness. That is actually, although it seems like happiness, it's actually another phase of distress. It's very difficult to understand this unless we can experience the real happiness that comes from Krishna consciousness. And this is why that Krishna is speaking Bhagavad Gita. We have to read the whole Bhagavad Gita as it is. Please read this Bhagavad Gita by Srila Prabhupada. What we're speaking to you, we're speaking little bit at a time. You please take this Bhagavad Gita as it is by Srila Prabhupada. Study it very carefully. Become convinced of these truths, which can help us in a way that is unimaginable. We can go to Krishna and enjoy with Krishna the transcendental bliss of pure bhakti to Him. That comes, of course, by chanting the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Chant Hare Krishna, read Bhagavad Gita as it is,